From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are glad that you have joined us for the 39th episode of our podcast, and this week we are honored to be joined by Brother Eric Lyons. Eric works at Apologetic Express in Montgomery, Alabama. He also works with the youth at the Wetumpka, Alabama Church of Christ, and we are thankful that he has joined us this week. He's going to be talking with us for a few minutes about teaching apologetics to children. In reality, it's a discussion basically about teaching the Bible to our children, because if we're teaching one, we are teaching the other. But Eric does a great job with Apologetic Express, and they have a good work that helps not just families, they help all Christians. But since our focus here is on families, we wanted to bring him on to talk about that specifically. I think you're going to really enjoy this interview I was able to conduct with Eric a few days ago, and I think you will be greatly encouraged by it. I think you will find it helpful. And so without any further ado, we'll turn this over to the interview I conducted some time ago with Eric Lyons, and then in a few moments I'll come back and close up the program, remind you of where you can get the information, the links to everything that Eric talks about in the show, and we will join you again in a few minutes following the interview. Thank you for joining us this week, and enjoy this interview with Eric Lyons. Eric Lyons is our guest this week on A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, Adam, good to be here, man. Really excited to be a part of the show.
Eric is a person I went to school with and have watched for a long time and really appreciate his work and his family very, very much. And Eric, we kind of have a tradition around here that our guests introduce themselves. So take just a moment and let our folks know the essentials of a good person.
Okay. Well, you know, if we want to talk about a good person, we'd probably just talk about you. But I am thankful to be a Christian, thankful that I can call myself, I suppose, a good person because I am a child of God, and He being our ultimate creator and standard of what is good. I'm thankful that we have a good word and thankful that I can know what good is and try to be a good child of God. But I've been a Christian for several years, grew up in a Christian home. Actually, my parents, my dad and mom, they just moved to where we are in Wetumpka, Alabama, just a few years ago, so it's nice having them in the area after moving away from my hometown of Oklahoma, Muskogee, Oklahoma, back when I was about 18, and headed off to Freed Hardeman. Been married to my wife, Jana, for the past 18 years. Been working in Montgomery, Alabama at Apologetic Express for the last 15 years. And by the grace of God, been working with the Wetumpka congregation for, I guess, about the last 8 years now. Currently, they call me the associate preacher there, so really love getting to work with them. Live in Wetumpka, but work in Montgomery full-time during the week with Apologetic Express, and really have enjoyed being there for about 15 years now. So Apologetic Express is it's a nonprofit organization, and our motto is we're dedicated to the defense of New Testament Christianity. So it doesn't have anything to do with apologizing to people for being a Christian or for trying to teach the biblical principles that God wants everyone to know, but we are trying to teach those things in a way that is pleasing to God in our giving of a defense, but doing it, we hope and pray, in a spirit of meekness and fear.
Very good. As our listeners can already see, Eric has a lot of irons in the fire, but you handled them all very well. And one of the things I've heard before, but what is your official title or job, you know, job name at Apologetic Express, and what kind of areas do you most look after there?
Okay, yeah, great. I'm just they just call me a member of the Bible department here, so I guess I don't really have necessarily an official title other than just a member of the Bible department. And my areas of emphasis are with a lot of the children's material and material for teenagers. I'm the assistant editor of Discovery Magazine, which is our monthly magazine for kids. It's called Discovery Scripture and Science for Kids. We've been praying that for, I guess, over 20 years now. And then I'm the editor of V Squared, which stands for Valor and Virtue. And it's just a a biannual journal for teenagers that we may one day decide to do it on a bi-monthly or monthly basis. But right now, we've just kind of started it up. I write for our website fairly frequently, write for our journal, Reason Revelation, which is for adults, on a fairly regular basis, and then just a lot of other things, write several books. I suppose my main area of emphasis through the years has been on trying to explain some Bible passages that people find difficult or discrepant, and so I've written a lot of articles that have been turned into a couple of books and called The Anvil Rings, Answers to Alleged Bible Discrepancies. I've done several other books, but I suppose one of my niches here has just been trying to help people understand that the Bible writers did not contradict each other in their writings, but their writings are perfectly supplemental and consistent with each other.
Very good. For our listeners who are hearing all these things and saying, man, that sounds good, that sounds good, that sounds good, we will link to Apologetic Express website. We'll also do our best to link to each of these resources specifically in the show notes for this episode, and those will be at fawnfamily.com/39, the number 39, so fawnfamily.com/39. So, Eric, we're thinking today about teaching apologetics to children, and you have kind of already answered this question somewhat, but let's define our terms here for a second. When people hear the word apologetics, as you said a moment ago as you were talking, we think of the word just apologize, saying I'm sorry for something, but that's not really what we're talking about. So let's just give an easy working definition here that parents can not just take, but also they can pass along to their children.
Sure. The word apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to, and so this is your simple definition really, it means to give an answer or to give a defense. So when we talk about apologetics, it is the study of giving a defense and giving an answer. And most of the time, especially in the church, most all the time, we're talking about Christian apologetics. So again, we're talking about Christians who are striving to give reasonable answers or a defense of the things that that the Bible teaches. Now, a lot of those answers are given by using reason, by using logic, and by using science, because there are a lot of questions that people have that might, or at least some, especially involving the existence of God, that they would ask not expecting or wanting or maybe even appreciating a book, chapter, and Bible verse answer because they would not believe the Bible. So they, you know, when someone asks, well, why do you believe in God? They don't believe it is sufficient. And in one sense, it is not to say, well, you know, the Bible says this, because they don't believe the author of the Bible. So both the reasonable and logical answers that we give, some of those will be outside of Scripture based on just truth that we can know. And some of those, many of those, would be in Scripture. By the way, the Apostle Paul referred to such truth that can be known outside of Scripture when he said in Romans chapter 1 that since the creation of the world, his, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So I believe there he is referring to the fact that we can understand things just like the psalmist said, the heavens themselves being a declaration for the existence of God, Psalm 19:1.
So I think that transitions to sort of where we're going to be going for the next few minutes, and that is we're thinking about teaching these things to our children. Obviously, we want them to know what the Scriptures say, but they're being raised in a society where they're going to have some people say, well, I don't care what John 1 says or Genesis 1 says or what the Book of Ruth talks about. I don't believe that's true. But as parents, well, let me ask a softball question here first. How early is too early to be teaching these things?
Yeah, well, as I think most people who are conscientious Christians know, we are trying to do this at the very earliest opportunity we have. I mean, when children are very young, we are reading to them, we are singing with them, we are showing them things that they can know to be true. And, you know, one of the reasons we want to do that is because we have a passion for truth and for God. And we truly believe in response to God's love that this is what we ought to be doing. Number two, we know from Old Testament scriptures like Deuteronomy chapter 6, that God wants his children, specifically in that context, speaking to the Israelites, to teach children, you know, when we're in the house, when we are, you know, sitting, when we're lying down, when we rise up, and we take that that principle seriously. And then, of course, Paul referred to training up children in the training or nurturing and admonition of the Lord. The other thing is we have to realize that the enemy of Christianity, that Satan and that those who follow after him, they will begin their indoctrination of kids at their earliest opportunity. In fact, I was reading a statement by an atheistic evolutionist a few years ago who basically said, he said, those of us, he was referring to evolutionists, he said, those of us who have freedom of speech will feel free to describe, he was referring to Christians, your teachings, or those who don't believe in evolution, your teachings as the spreading of falsehoods, and will attempt to demonstrate this to your children at our earliest opportunity. I found that interesting and sad, but evidence, just further evidence for why Christians need to begin this at very, very early ages, because the other side, they are continually striving to do this, preschool, kindergarten, even before kids get in school by way of cartoons and other things, magazines that they're reading or that they're looking through. You know, just when you show for example, here's how young people have been indoctrinated in one way that most people rarely even think of.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 99% of the material that kids have access to about dinosaurs, 99%+ of that material that is produced by the world, you will never see in a realistic approach to show kids what dinosaurs were like and what the world was like in the time of the dinosaurs. You will never see a human being with a dinosaur, because they believe that dinosaurs evolved 60 million plus years before humans. So it's just, you know, even though young children cannot read, they can see picture after picture after picture or illustration after illustration of dinosaurs and never see a human being with those.
Mm-hmm.
And even without ever reading a phrase, they will come to believe that there were not any humans who lived, human beings who lived during the time of the dinosaurs. So, again, that's just kind of one example of even kids who cannot read, and even as they're just flipping through books, they get the impression that, oh, okay, yeah, human beings could not have lived with these creatures. They did not live with these creatures, which I believe we can show from Scripture and even through physical and historical evidence that conclusion is not the case.
I appreciate pointing that out, because, you know, some of these things really are, I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, they're very subtle. You know, it doesn't have to be a book that just explicitly says, you know, dinosaurs died 64 million years before humans, but if you flip through a 100-page book of pictures of dinosaurs and never see a picture, guess what you're going to think over time?
That's right.
And so that's, you know, these subtle things that we often don't think about. Well, this book's harmless. Well, maybe not if you just keep feeding that. So let me ask just for some specific things here. I'm going to let you give the plug for Apologetic Express specifically in a few moments. But outside of, you know, the materials that you all and some other people that do similar things produce, how could a parent just teach these sorts of things to their children just in, well, in that Deuteronomy 6 way, just in the everyday life, you know, just walking through the world? Maybe I'm not the best parent at picking up on, you know, giving a spiritual lesson from a rock or a tree or whatever, but what are just some things just in the day-to-day living that I can be instilling in my children that any parent can do pretty much any time of the day?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, I've benefited my entire life from being around preachers and Bible teachers, both, having Bible teachers since I was just a young child, who have taught me a number of things. So some of the things I'm telling you, I've heard from different people, or people have taught me in this way. And, these people I treasure as God's servants who have aided me in my spiritual life, both as a young child and even to this day. And so, you know, I don't know if I've seen this or people have said things like, if you just have if you're getting change back from a retailer at a store and they give you some change and you look at it and you show your kid, oh, here's a quarter, you know, and you ask them, well, whose image is on this quarter? And at this moment, I guess I've forgotten. Is that George Washington who's on the quarter? Anyway,
maybe you know.
Okay, so you know, you may say, well, it's George Washington. Who is he? And you say, well, he was the first president of the United States. And you know, you can refer them back to the passage there in Matthew chapter. Matthew chapter 22, where you know the Pharisees come to Jesus testing him, and you know they say, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And then eventually he says, well, whose image and inscription is this? And they say, Caesar's. He says, render to Caesar, therefore, the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So, you know, you could take just a simple transaction that is made, and you may say, hey, you know what? I can teach my child a lesson from this quarter. Most of the time, and by the way, you know, one of the things we can teach them, we can tell them, yeah, you know, if we're supposed to pay taxes, then we pay taxes given to Caesar or to the government. What is the government's? But then we, you know, carry that teaching further by saying, but you know, you and your child, whatever your child's name is, you, Michael, you are made in the image of God, and so God has stamped His image upon you. You know, take the opportunity to let them know that you weren't created, or you weren't you didn't evolve over millions of years from ape-like creatures, but you are specially created in the image of God. And you could go to passages like Acts chapter 17 and let them know that the Apostle Paul said, we as human beings are the offspring of God, which makes us special. And you could go to James chapter 3 and let them know that even James said that, you know, we don't need to be unkind to people because we have been made, and those that we might potentially be unkind to, that we don't want to be, even they have been made in the image of God. So we want to treat everyone fairly. So you can not only teach, you know, good Bible, even Christian evidences type lessons to your kids, but then, you know, you can turn that into not just a Christian evidence lesson, but a Christian living lesson. And, you know, you could do the same thing by pointing to the heavens, just like the psalmist did, and how they declare His glory, and, you know, how the heavens, the lights shine at night, and God created it that way, as He told us in Genesis chapter 1. And then you can encourage your kids to let our light shine as we live the Christian life. So it's, you know, I think that so often, Adam, that it's just us really being awakened to our responsibility as parents and taking that responsibility seriously, seeing the opportunities for what they are. And, you know, I realize that, you know, we're not going to necessarily be talking to our kids 24 hours a day, you know, and everything is going to be a Bible lesson. But I think what we have to admit is parents are just not doing this either at all or not near enough. And really, if we will open our eyes, I think that we'll find a lot of opportunities to teach them very basic truths that they can learn at a young age, and that as they get older, we can talk about more in-depth things.
So pretty much what you're suggesting, I think you're exactly right, is the idea that anywhere we are, just make sure God is part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I think the idea behind that then becomes them, as you said, at the end, when they start getting a little bit older and the questions start getting more difficult, their foundation is already in, okay, we believe in God, but now let's figure out the why.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of we've assumed that since I was 2 years old because Daddy said He made the stars in the heaven, God made the stars in the heaven. But, you know, now this smart guy at school says that's not true. Well, the foundation, thankfully, is already with, I'm going to believe what Daddy said, but now we're going to figure out the why side of it.
Right. And we've got to, as parents, we have to be there for the kids when that transition is taking place, when they're going from repeating what mom and dad are saying because mom and dad say it to knowing what is the truth and why it is the truth, and being able to, some degree, as they, you know, as young people, being able to defend that. You know, you ask a kid why, you know, how you get, if, you know, how you get 4 from 2 plus blank. You know, if you ask a kid what goes in that blank, they're going to tell you 2, and they're going to know it's 2, because 2 plus 2 is always 4. And in the same way, I want our kids to know, you can know, without it being some hunch and without it being mythical, you can know that God exists because, and then give them some very elementary reasons that can be expounded on. You know, for example, we can know that matter does not come from, you know, does not come from matter, meaning you don't get matter from nothing. I guess that's a better way. That matter demands a maker and not just previous matter. That life demands a life giver, and that life doesn't just pop into existence from nothing. You know, you could share with them some, you know, very basic truths like design demands a designer. You know, you don't find a design where there have been explosions, and yet that's what they allege, you know, we ultimately came from billions of years ago. So, you know, you can start with very simple truths such as those that as they get older and become teenagers and young adults that, hey, you're expounding upon those and you're providing hopeful materials, some of which we produce here at Apologetics Press that can be, you know, helpful and beneficial for them and their growth.
Well, go ahead then, since you've already transitioned here, go ahead and let people know. So you mentioned at the beginning what Apologetics Press is about, but take just a moment and kind of walk through, you know, two, three things that maybe parents of children of different ages, you know, might be interested in because, hey, I've got a kid who's starting to ask about, you know, things that, I mean, I know I believe it, but I'm not sure I can explain it. So what are just some of the resources they might be interested in that would help them in, you know, in the explanation part of these things?
Sure. Yeah. The first thing I almost always recommend is the Apologetics Press website, which is just apologeticspress.org. And there you'll find literally thousands of articles that can be searched quite easily just by going to the search engine, or you can navigate to various articles by clicking on some of the main headings and categories there. You can also get our magazine for kids in electronic form on our website. You can go to journals and click on Discovery, or in the bottom right hand side, you'll see that the latest issue of Discovery is always there. You can click on the cover. Of course, we like it when people choose to get a subscription to Discovery, which I believe is, I think, $12 or so a year. And they get a beautiful 8-page full color magazine the kids do in the mail every month. And we focus on everything from Bible stories to proofs for the existence of God to design an animal kingdom. We just put the last discovery out on basically animals that produce bioluminescent light. So we talked about the fireflies and other examples of bioluminescent animals that we believe show evidence of amazing design that proves the existence of God. So we highlight Discovery a lot for kids, and then our website, which has a Discovery section on it. And then just a lot of the books and things that we have. We have a lot of books for kids. We have, I think, over 20 kids readers now, everything from God Made Dogs, Hogs, and Frogs to Amazing Dinosaurs and things such as that.
I would guess there's over 20 because I think all of them are on our shelves somewhere.
Okay. Great.
My son especially loves your old material to the point that I don't know if you remember this or not, but he actually wanted you to autograph one of his books a couple of years ago because he thought it was cool you wrote it. And he was like, "You know him?" And I was like,
oh,
I, you
wow.
know, hey, Eric, you're up there basically with, like, you know, a superstar at our house because you know him?
Well,
yeah, known him for a long time. And all of a sudden I became important for a couple of minutes in my son's eyes. So I appreciate that.
I was honored to do it. Unfortunately, that book probably became less valuable after I signed it, but I'm always honored to do it. And just, you know, I just love being a Christian, and I'm thankful that you as a Christian and myself and others who God allows to teach and preach on a regular basis, I just love the opportunities to get to know people, both Christians and non-Christians, and try to share the truths of God's Word and the wonderful love that He gives us.
We appreciate that. We appreciate you so much, Eric. And I know you're a very busy guy, but we appreciate you taking a few moments this week to talk about not just Apologetics Press, but I think an area that a lot of parents feel that they are just not equipped to handle. But I think you've reassured a lot of parents that it's really just a matter of, you know, just talking about God any way and every way you possibly can, even if you don't have a doctorate degree or don't feel like you're a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're building that foundation, things will be okay.
That's right. Amen to that.
Thank you for being with us, Eric, and we look forward to everything that you do. As I said a few minutes ago, folks can get these links and materials from the show notes for this episode at fallenfamily.com/39. And Eric, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us this week.
Adam, thank you very much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
I think you can see why we wanted to have Eric Lyons on the program to talk about this particular subject. It's not only something he is good at, it's something he's very passionate about, and he has helped us greatly. I hope you have enjoyed hearing Eric talk about these things, about teaching our children and teaching them such important and deep things about God's Word as they grow and mature in their faith, and that, of course, helps us grow and mature in our faith as we lead our families. I mentioned as we were closing out the interview that you can find the links to the things that Eric was talking about on the show notes for this episode. Those can be found at fawnfamily.com/39, fawnfamily.com/39. We will link there to Apology Express itself, but we will also link to some of the specific products and things that Eric spoke about in the interview. We hope you have enjoyed this week's program. Next week, Lord willing, we will begin a two-part podcast. Something a little bit different is we're going to, since this is November, we're going to spend a few moments thinking about Thanksgiving and gratitude, and we are going to give you over the next 2 weeks 100 reasons to be thankful. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with you over the next couple of weeks on the program. That will be beginning next week and then the week following. But this week, we hope you have enjoyed this interview with Eric Lyons. Remember to get the show notes at fawnfamily.com/39. We also would ask you if you would take a few moments to give us a rating and review on iTunes. That greatly helps us in the search there. It gives us some exposure. Of course, we don't do that so that we get more popular or more famous because we think there's information here that is helpful to you, and we want that to get in the hands of as many people as possible. We appreciate you, those of you who have done that, and if you haven't, we would really appreciate if you would take a moment to jump over to iTunes, and it takes literally about 15 seconds to give a rating and review, and that would be greatly, greatly helpful to us. Thank you for joining us this week on A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. And remember, until next week, your family can't go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.